Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations, it's the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about salvation by grace through faith. You know, I do content like this quite often. I love talking about this, and it's so much more than simply just what much we do to be saved or how are we saved. This topic touches on a lot of stuff, and today we're going to look at a blurb that a friend of mine put out. It come up in my memories, and I shared it years ago, and it come up in my Facebook memories, and it happens to be from Todd Clippard. And Todd was on the podcast 2 days ago. Yesterday, I did a Todd-centric episode sharing some thoughts that I had whenever Todd was on the podcast. And then lo and behold, this shows up in my memory. So that's why you're getting it today. Incidentally, I have had some member request episodes. We will get to those. I have not forgotten you. I need to make a reply in the Cogitations messages because somebody sent me a message and Facebook doesn't always play nicely with notifications. So that being said, I will get to you. Now, we do have a sponsor, all right? www.beamindfulsoul.com. You know, often people need a listening ear and support as they work through the varied situations of life. Sometimes those situations are so complex and overwhelming that you need some support. This is why LaBeth started Be a Mindful Soul. At Be a Mindful Soul, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from a listening ear and the advice of an older sister to help finding a professional in your area if needed. Be sure to go to www.beamindfulsoul.com and check out all the services that she has to offer. She can help answer your questions about therapy treatment or other mental health services that you may need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability that you deserve. So be sure and go to www.beamindfulsoul and check her out. And she typically has several clients that she works with. And she does have a couple of openings, but they will fill up quickly. All right, John Exum, good to see you. Good morning. We got 12 folks watching. I'm always happy about the crowd on Christianity Now streams. Be sure and hit the notification bell and subscribe if you're not already done that. And they say that YouTube streaming is better than Facebook streaming. I tend to agree with them. I know with YouTube, if you're a YouTube Red or whatever it is subscriber, that you can actually close out your app and listen to things in the background through your headphones while you're up and doing other things. With Facebook, you can't do that. Now let's get right into the live stream. I'm going to read this. I was reading a book about principles of interpretation, and the author noted the fallacy of interpreting the teachings of Jesus through the teachings of Paul. More accurately, interpreting Jesus through the Calvinistic interpretation of Paul's writings, particularly Romans. You know, people teach salvation by grace without obedience because they believe what Calvin said about Romans more than what Paul said about obedience in the epistle of Romans. Romans 1, 5, 6, 3 through 5, Romans 6, 17, and 16, 26. And because we're on live stream, we're just going to go and we're going to go to the book of Romans and we're going to chase down these references. All right. So we have Romans 1:5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Right there, obedience is pretty important. All right. Now let's go to 6:3-5. All right. Romans 6:3-5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, Tony, that doesn't say anything about obedience. Well, let's go down to we're going to read 16 and 17. Excuse me, I meant 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Folks, that is a passage of scripture that you cannot get around. You see, that links Romans 6, 3 through 5 with obedience. And we understand that that which was delivered is the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, and fact that Jesus was witnessed alive on earth after his death or after his resurrection, that we obey that form of doctrine from our heart. That's with the proper intention and the proper understanding. Folks, I don't understand what's so hard. Does Paul teach that we have to obey or not? And then we're going to Romans 16, verse 26. So let me get that really quick. 16, 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So question, just from these passages of scripture in the book of Romans, how important is obeying? Well, I would say it's pretty important. Can it be said that we are saved by the faith alone? In the sense that there is no other system by which we can be saved. Jonathan, I think that's true, but I think it's semantically overloaded. Let me give you an example of something that's semantically overloaded. Technically, what you and I do every Sunday whenever we get up and preach, well, it can also be called prophesying. We are telling forth God's word, a message from God's word. We are acting as the mouthpieces of God in a non-miraculous way. That's called prophesying. However, if we started referring to what we do as prophesying, that is so semantically overloaded in the minds of our brethren and in the minds of other people that the only thing that they would be able to latch hold of is, well, that Tony and Jonathan's claiming to be prophets, and they would think that we claim to have inspiration from God. That's why we got to be very careful when we use language. A language that is not a dead language is alive, and it changes. And it changes meanings over the years. Usages of terms change, and semantics are ever evolving. That's the beautiful thing about God's word. The original manuscripts were all written in Koine Greek, which is a dead language. So I think you're right, it can be said that we are saved by the system, the gospel system, the faith alone, and no other system of faith can save, to normalize those words might be problematic. So, yeah, John says he understands. Deborah O'Neill says, I can see better on Facebook sometimes. I just put you on the TV and listen that way. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I honestly do everything on my phone. So I don't know. If I'm going to be listening to something in the background, I put it on YouTube, and if I want to be watching it, I put it on Facebook. Anyway, all right. So we see that people teach salvation by grace without obedience because they believe what John Calvin said about Romans more than what Paul said about obedience in the epistle to the Romans. And we looked at that scripture. Now, the writer, Todd, goes on to say, it might surprise some to know that Jesus never spoke a syllable about salvation by grace. But he spoke repeatedly and emphatically about obedience, salvation by obedience. Matthew 7, Luke 6, and John 14. I tell you what, we're going to look at these verses because it's my live stream and I can do what I want. All right. Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Let me go to my trusty rusty. 7, 21. And I believe it's 21 through 27. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Folks, that's obedience, by the way. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, that's obedience and disobedience, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Folks, if you think you can be saved, if you think you can be pleasing to God, you are no better off than the man who built his house on the shifting sands. You have no stability. That's right. Doing is an action verb. You got that right. All right. Number next, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. I have a feeling I could flip to these faster than I could click to them. But we're going to practice our clicking, aren't we? Because we're stubborn. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The implication there is, if you don't do the things that Jesus commands, you don't have a right to call him Lord. That's pretty stout, is it not? Now, this is the words of Jesus. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Folks, I just want to ask one more time, according to the words of Jesus, how important is obedience? And no matter how much importance Jesus places on obedience, that doesn't contradict anything that the Apostle Paul ever taught or wrote. All right, the article goes on. One will never read the teachings of Jesus and conclude that a man can be saved without obeying God. Yet Calvinist and Reformed theologist, I will add, teach this very error, condemning as heresy the very doctrines taught by our Lord. What did Jesus say about obedience and salvation in Mark 16:16? Specifically, he said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Why is it so hard to understand? Yet many want to argue from silence in the latter half of the same verse. He who does not believe shall be condemned. They say Jesus didn't say he who is baptized shall be lost. And I had somebody on a post that I shared, and they said, I'm a professional linguist. I'm like, dude, your education has failed you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is the main clause. There's a subordinate clause. He that believeth not shall be damned. And that clause, just because it says he that believeth not shall be damned, doesn't negate the necessity of baptism. If I chew my food, and he that cheweth and swalloweth, he that chews and swallows his food shall be nourished. All right? But he that cheweth not shall starve to death. Are you telling me then that swallowing is not necessary to the process of being nourished? Regardless of what you believe about baptism. Anyway, so, friend, this verse consists of two independent clauses, and I said a subordinate clause, but they are independent of one another, meaning each one stands alone with neither affecting the meaning of the other. Concerning the latter half of this verse, it teaches what I need to do to be lost. Let me assure you that I am not the least bit interested in being lost. Been there, done that. What did Jesus say in this verse about being saved? Rather than make foolish arguments over what Jesus did not say, why not do what he said? Believe and be baptized in order to be saved. But you see, what if you want to be lost? Well, then baptism doesn't matter, just don't believe. Remember, he that chews and swallows shall be nourished. He that chews not shall starve to death. Well, are you telling me then that swallowing is not necessary to the task of being nourished? I'm obviously not. So don't be guilty like those of Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It's a neat little article. And like I said, it showed up in my Facebook memories. Let me see if I can find it again. I'll tell you how many years ago this was written. I don't know. Let me see if I can find my memories. Nope. Of course I can't. Well, it's not showing up in my... Ain't that a booger bear? It's not showing up in my notifications any longer. Oh, well, it was shared years ago by Todd, and I shared it from his timeline. So anyway, let's talk about the actual passage of scripture that people go to, and they like to use it as, I call it a sugar stick. And I'm like, it's not the sugar stick that you think it is. It's Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Oh, that's Philippians chapter 2. No wonder it looked funny. I was like, what in the world? I was having a crisis of sanity. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right. Does that negate anything that Paul said in the book of Romans? God forbid. Does that negate what Paul was told to do in order to be saved? Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Ananias said, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I have to call on the name of the Lord. Did you realize that? Did you realize that calling on the name of the Lord, regardless of what you think that is, that's obedience? That if you don't call on the name of the Lord, you will not be saved? Therefore, it takes more than just a mental assent that Jesus is the Son of God and God exists. I have to do something. Now, why are we okay with doing something metaphysically, but not okay with doing something physically? Because repentance is also metaphysical. You got to change your mind about your sins. You got to call on the name of the Lord. You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. All those things are fall under the heading of obedience. So then verse 8 of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians can't mean what many of our friends in the denominational world thinks it means. For by grace are you saved through faith. I have to define faith correctly. And I'm going to put forth to you that there are two different definitions or two different usages of the word faith that work here. And I believe one of them is the correct one. Okay. For by grace are you saved through faith. I believe that the faith through which one is saved by grace is the system of faith that we refer to as the gospel system. It's the system that was promulgated on the day of Pentecost, because you have to go from point A to point B, and the corridor through which you travel is your faith, the action you take based on your belief. And we brought that up in the podcast. A lot of people they define faith. Well, they'll go to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right, good. So what? Tell me what that means. Well, folks began to stutter. Look, faith is simply the action you take based on what you believe. Do you believe that Bigfoot exists? What action have you taken? Well, if you haven't taken any action, I put forth to you that you really don't believe it. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I can show you the action. In fact, it's the same question posed by James in James chapter 2. There are some of you that say you have faith. Well, I don't have to say that I have faith. I can show you my faith by my works. Because you see, I take action based on what I believe. That's biblical faith. Now, the system of faith, all right, is the gospel system, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and living according his commandments, precepts, and divine example. And when we obey the prerequisites for entering into the faith, we are able to travel down that corridor into the location where the grace is. All right? So faith here is either the system of faith or it's your personal faith. Either one doesn't do any damage to the text. The action that I take based on what I believe, that's my personal faith, delivers me out of the power of darkness and translates me into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13, and it puts me in the location where all spiritual blessings are found, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Therefore, it is by grace, that spiritual blessing, that I am saved, but I attain that grace through faith, either the gospel system or the action that I take based on what I believe, which is obedience to the gospel. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, Tony, I just don't think, okay, forget baptism for a stinking minute. I have to call on the name of the Lord. I have to repent of my sins. I have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. All of that is obedience, and it's part of calling on the name of the Lord. So I'm still back to obedience. Without obedience, I can't be saved. Think about, and the thumbnail is from a man reaching his hand up out of the water, and the word help is written on it. What if you were treading water, and people come to rescue you, and they say, hey, you're in a lost and dying state. You're dying in the process of drowning. Yes, I am. Well, we're here to save you. We're going to throw this lifeline, and we're going to get it as close as we can, but you need to swim over and grab a hold of the lifeline. And you say, well, are you telling me I have to work for my salvation? No. We're gifting you the salvation. You can't alleviate yourself from the water. Only we can do that. But in order to take advantage of what we're giving you, you're going to have to do what we say. Now, do you want to drown or not? Because we'll sure leave you. That's what God is saying from heaven, folks. Look, I've given you the lifeline. The kingdom is not far from every one of us, if haply we might seek after him. Acts chapter 17. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. All you got to do is reach out to take it, but you have to reach out. Do you want to be in the location where all the spiritual blessings are? You get there through faith, the gospel system, action you take based on what you believe. I don't understand what the difficult problem is. I think maybe we need to teach people how to quit making verses war with other verses. I mean, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And then you've got your 1 Peter 3:21 that says baptism doth also now save us. Then somebody else has their Acts and their 2:38s that you have to repent, be baptized. Somebody's got, just look, how do we call on the name of the Lord? Let's define that. First off, we've established that obedience is necessary to the process of salvation. That's clear from the scriptures. So based on that, does God require specifics? Well, the answer is yes. It's kind of like with Naaman the leper. Go dip 7 times in the Jordan. Well, are not the Abana and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus? They are much more superior to the Jordan. So he went away very sad, and it took one of his servants to say, look, if the man of God had asked you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. Why don't you just wash and be clean? And so he did, and he did. Same way with us. God is very specific in what he tells us to do. We can't add to it, and we can't take away from it. I think it's very telling that in Deuteronomy, Proverbs, and Revelation, there's admonitions and warnings not to add to or take away. So if we are supposed to be buried with him in baptism, be raised again to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, if Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. If everyone who is a child of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus and heirs according to the promise, are those who have been baptized into Christ by putting on Christ, then we need to just submit our bodies to a watery grave of baptism. We need to do what the Apostle Paul did. We need to arise. So get up, take action, be baptized, submit to being baptized, and wash away our sins. It is incumbent upon me to tell somebody, look, I need you to baptize me because I've got to wash my sins away. And the only action in the New Testament that is associated with washing away sins is the act of water baptism. Sadly, when you Google salvation, most of the responses are from Calvinistic sources. It's a very popular doctrine, but it makes God a monster. It sure does, Barry. That's the Mammoth Spring Church of Christ, by the way. That's Barry O'Dell. So the point is, let's quit making verses fight with one another. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's absolutely true. Now, what does that mean? Well, in order to be saved, I've got to call on the name of the Lord. Is there a place where somebody called on the name of the Lord and it's broken down almost as if in bullet points what they did? Yes, Acts 22:16. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And for you grammarians out there, calling on the name of the Lord is an adverbial participle phrase that answers the question of how. All right. So how does one call on the name of the Lord? Well, by getting up, submitting to baptism, and washing away sins. So how does one get up, submit to baptism, and wash away their sins? By calling on the name of the Lord. You cannot separate calling on the name of the Lord and the action, the submission, and the incumbents, the responsibility. You cannot separate those things from salvation. So the Calvinists have it wrong. Period. Paul Washer, yeah, he's wrong. Who else is a Calvinist I can call by name? Sproul, he was wrong. Who else? MacArthur, he was wrong. All these folks that teach this, they're wrong. It's not by grace alone and faith alone through Christ alone. There's too many alones. If you have more than one alone, you have too many alones. I don't get it. Anyway, that's all I've got, folks. I'm so thankful for you tuning in. I really hope that you go to www.beamindfulsoul and avail yourself of the services LaBeth has to offer. She does offer a free consult at no charge to you, where she will assess your needs. If she's able to help you, she'll tell you, and she'll have a document for you to sign that talks about some of her services, or she will help you find a professional in your area. And be sure and subscribe to the podcast. And if you'll notice, there's been a QR code hanging out in the top left corner. Consider supporting us at Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee. And that's www.buymeacoffee.com, patreon.com, and then you'll find our page with a / Christianity Now. God bless you. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations, powered by Christianity Now, and we will catch you on the flip side.